Turn with me, if you would, please, to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Mark's talking about the first miracle, or like John calls them, signs today. Turning water into wine. And on that thought, I want us to look at John chapter 8, the book of John. Uses the word truth 23 times. Found that interesting. One time each in the other Gospels. 23 times in the book of John. 84 times it talks about believing, to believe. 84 times the book of John. John is adamant about us believing the truth. And I guess that would make sense then, as he would say, lies certainly are the enemy. Satan is a liar, father of lies. I want to read that. John chapter 8, and these might be familiar, but there is a verse at the end here that has surprised me this week and greatly intrigued me. Verse 31 is where we need to start, John chapter 8. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It's just, if today you are free, it is because you have believed the truth, and you have believed the truth because our Lord has shown you. What an amazing thing that is. Verse 33, they answered him, "We are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" So you see, they're snippy with Jesus. These are the hypocrites. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." And you go to verse 42, Jesus says to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I have come from God, and I am here. I came not on my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? Is it because you cannot bear to hear my word?" This is verse 44, and probably a familiar one. "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So five times in one verse, Jesus says, Satan is a liar. Calls him that, describes it five different ways. And you are Satan's children. He's your father. He's telling the hypocrites this. Verse 45, I've never seen in my life. I think I've seen it in my life. I've never seen it like this in my life. Look at what it says. "But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me." Isn't that something? Jesus says, because I'm telling the truth, you're refusing to believe me because your father is Satan, the father of lies. And you are holding on to a lie. My question is, could that be us? Here he's talking about unbelievers, but how many lies do we maybe hold on to? And Jesus is very clear there to say, if I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Romans, let's turn to the promised land. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 is related. And we'll talk about this more Tuesday. Manuel is going to help us on this. Manuel does not gossip, but he does know more about general revelation from a microscopic perspective than the rest of us. And he will share about that in about 54 hours. "For the wrath of God," verse 18, "for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness," what do they do? What does the unbeliever do? They suppress the truth. Did the hypocrites know? I think they knew. Jesus was doing signs, showing them who he was. I think they knew. They suppress the truth, as does the unbeliever here. How does the unbeliever know they're suppressing the truth? For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. No one has an excuse. God takes suppressing the truth very seriously. Look at verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in their lusts of their heart to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Because what happened? They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is forever blessed. Amen. And we see that only the gospel will free us from that. Are we not some guilty, even if you know Jesus today? Are we not some guilty sometimes of exchanging the truth of God for a lie? Marx oftentimes called them functional saviors that we go to, maybe something other than Christ, for satisfaction, for hope, maybe for joy, and it doesn't work. We know it doesn't work. The lies that we can easily believe from the world, from Satan, from our own evil heart, because our heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? And so on June 19, we turned to good news and about 7:42 in the evening, and that is Romans 3, and that's where we need to go to close now. What is going to be the way that we are freed from these lies? And it is only in the gospel of our Lord Jesus. If the Son sets us free, we will be free indeed. Look at verse 21. But now, two incredible words, the turning of the tide from all the bad news. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so we have been freed. We have been set free from these lies. We have been justified or declared righteous, even though there was no righteousness in us. It's by grace, undeserved favor. It's a gift of God that we could never have earned on our own, because we had no righteousness, nothing that we would bring to the table. Through the redemption, and that is a slave market term. That means that we were bought at a price. Jesus went to the cross in order to buy us out of this mess so that we don't have to believe the lies anymore, so that we can believe the truth, be set free from these lies and believe the truth. And look at verse 25. For God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Jesus took all of the wrath that we deserved, even though he deserved none of it. God poured it out. Jerry Bridges calls it that he not just satisfied God's wrath, propitiation, there in verse 25, whom God put forward as a propitiation, didn't just satisfy God's wrath, but exhausted it, never to be seen again. Poured out every drop of that wrath on the Lord Jesus instead of on us. And that means we are free from these lies and are now able to believe the truth only through the gospel of Christ. And so it could be that you believed a lie or two. Take those to the Lord. Confess those. I'll give you a minute. And it would be wrong, I think, probably for any of us to guess the lies that each other of us have believed, but there are probably some. So go to the Lord with those, confess them, and I'll close in a second. Gracious Father, how thrilling it is that even though we were dead in our transgressions and our sins, we were slaves to sin, we had no righteousness, we had never done one good work, that our most righteous act was like filthy rags and our heart was deceitful above all things. But now a righteousness that you have brought to us through faith in Christ is ours due to the great price that was paid on the cross by our Lord Jesus. And we today are overwhelmed by the gospel, so grateful for your word. You have sanctified us by your word. Your word is truth. We would confess, Father, that even though those of us in here who have already known the Savior, that you have gripped our hearts, you've given us the faith to believe the gospel, and we have, but we haven't perfectly. We haven't had complete faith to always believe that you reward those who earnestly seek you, or that all things do work together for good to those who love you. So we would ask, Lord, that you would help us with the bombardment of lies that come at us from every direction all day long, that we would not believe them, that we would race to you, that every unbeliever in here would look to the cross to be freed, that they would no longer suppress the truth with their wickedness, no longer exchange your truth for a lie, or worship the creature rather than the creator, but instead would look to you. And Father, for every believer in here, I pray we would look to you. You're the only one that can free us continually from these lies. So we're so grateful that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and that you have washed our sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought up again, hurled them to the depths of the sea. So grateful for that. And I pray that you would use Mark now in a powerful way as we look at this first sign from our Savior and your Son, the Lord Jesus. In his name, amen.